Welcome to Home From Home, a podcast where we answer your questions with our experiences and questionable advice.
We're just two women, wives, and moms who like girls but love God. This is a safe place for real conversation where we will talk about the real highs and lows of life as disciples with added baggage. Can we help you with that? Welcome to your beautifully messy Home From Home. In this episode, we discuss how to engage in conversation with trans people in our community. We also talk about the challenges in doing so. Welcome to Beautifully Messy Home From Home. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your Beautifully Messy Home From Home podcast with your hosts, Morgan and Ellen. We are glad that you're here with us today and excited to continue our conversation around the topic of transgender. And today, this is our third part to this series. Today, we are going to be talking about how to interact with trans people in our culture and in our community. Quite a hot topic, so we're hoping to tackle some of these together and leave with a clear understanding of, you know, we talked about what the Bible says, but now how do we engage in it with our culture? And as Christians, what's our posture and our position on how we can best exemplify Jesus to this group of individuals? So before we jump into that, Ellen is going to kick us off with her messy moment of the week.
Yes, for just a second, I wish this were a video podcast because you could just see right from the get-go. I'm living in the messy moment. I look pretty messy today. Beautifully messy for sure, but messy. my son had surgery yesterday. He had ear tubes put in and his tonsils and his adenoids removed. And so, there's been lots of messiness over the past 24 to 48 hours preparing for it, doing the surgery. He's been up a lot throughout the night, but on top of that, we're potentially moving in the next few weeks. And so it's felt very messy, but there was this one moment yesterday that was definitely the most messy, in this already messy time. You know, the doctors and nurses warned us that when your child wakes up from anesthesia, that it's usually very messy. They're crying or screaming or, you know, they're just kind of confused and don't know what to make of it. And so they cry and scream to cope. So we were kind of prepared for that. But I was not prepared for this like demon possession that I witnessed. My son was coming out of anesthesia, I think a little more quickly than they expected. So we felt already kind of, they were like, hurry up, he's waking up. So we rushed back there and like his eyes are glassy and really wide. And he was like crawling on some of the medical furniture. Like you could just tell he felt so uncomfortable in his body. And you know, when you're just so uncomfortable and you're like writhing around, but even they were like, wow, he is really, one of the nurses said he did three flips before you even got here, just like wrapping his cord around. He was trying to pull his IV out. So they, and then he wanted to stand up straight or stand up on his feet. And they were like, don't let him stand up. He might be wobbly and fall. So it was just a very messy, you know, few moments. While he was truly, it looked like demon possessed. And we're trying to be like to the doctors and nurses, we're totally normal, but this is freaking us out a little bit. So fortunately, that just lasted a few minutes. And then he snuggled up sweet as ever and fell asleep for a few minutes. And you're like, how could this be the same as that? But, you know, since then, he's been recovering well. But yeah, that was definitely the most messy.
I was just thinking as you were talking, if we have any followers who have listened since we started the Beautifully Messy Home From Home podcast, they've gotten to go through a lot of family experiences with us. I mean, I think we've both moved. I had a baby. I was pregnant. You know, have surgery with your kiddos. It's just, they get a full glimpse into two mothers' lives. So yeah, listeners, if you've been following us that long, we hope that you have enjoyed the roller coaster. But back to our routinely scheduled podcast, let's jump into it. And as I mentioned, today we're going to be talking about how to interact with trans people in our culture. And I just want to start this podcast off by just saying this is a really hard topic. And I think I mentioned it before, but this is a hard topic just based on the nature of the volatility of the conversation in our culture right now between, you know, the gay community, trans community, and the Christian community. I think people are really trying to find where they stand on this topic, whether it's with one group, with another group, right in the middle, somewhere in between, you know, and I just really just want to put a note of empathy out there for you. This is not an easy topic. It's not something that has clear black and white. It's not something that we're going to be able to provide all the answers for or answer every situation that comes up. But more so, we hope that this aids in giving you some framework to embrace and discuss this topic. So I guess I'll just also say on that topic, when we're talking about how to interact with people, when we look at Jesus as our example, he really is someone who has stood in the messy middle in a lot of situations. I mean, I just think about when he was alive and the dynamics of the groups of people. I was just having this conversation at a Bible study the other night that, you know, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then you have Jesus and his disciples who everybody's trying to put them in a box. Everybody's trying to tell them where to go or which group they should be a part of. And Jesus is like, actually, we're not going to stand with either of you guys. We're going to stand right in the middle here. And I think it's just a great example that Jesus gives us that he also can empathize with us. And we can watch his example and see how he maneuvered, even the questions that he was asked and how people would try to trick him. And they would try to ask questions so that he would get caught up and trip on his words. But he was just always so loving. And that's the one thing that I think as we approach this topic, to continue to just have a view of love and understanding and curiosity of where the other people are coming from, but also a willingness to stand up for what we believe in. Again, that's a very messy middle to be in, but Jesus gave us a great example of that. And so, Ellen, I really want to pass this question over to you. What does the Bible say about how we should treat other people? More specifically, if you can dive a little bit into how we can engage with the trans community in our culture.
Yeah, well, I love that, you know, we're talking about this because I think a lot of Christians just want to stop this conversation at the two previous podcast episodes what we've done on this. What does the Bible say? What is the truth? What do we believe? And of course, that's incredibly important as Christians that we know what the Bible says and we can stand firm on that truth. I think it's also equally important to think through how we're going to implement our belief, right? It's not enough to know what we believe. We need to know how we believe it, how we go about believing it in our modern culture. And I think, too, people just kind of like to zoom in on one aspect of the Bible. It says, this is wrong. This is sinful. Or, you know, we need to be radical in our righteousness. And I wonder if we're supposed to kind of zoom out a little bit and understand the Bible as a whole, right? There are a lot of seemingly conflicting things in the Bible. We are supposed to be radical in our righteousness, but we are also called to love people scandalously, just like Jesus did. These two things seem contradictory to us. And when we zoom in on one or the other, we tend to, you know, miss the mark on that spectrum. But I love what you're saying too, that we need to find that messy middle space where we can try to let both be true at the same time. So yeah, it's true that the Bible says that being in a same-sex relationship, for example, romantic and sexual relationship, or crossing gender boundaries that God created us in is sinful, but it doesn't say specifically how we're supposed to treat people who aren't Christians who are engaging in that sin. But fortunately, the Bible does say a lot about how to treat people in generally, right? Talks about treat people better than yourself. It says we're called to judge those only inside the church, not outside the church. And even then, when we judge people in the church, we cannot judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart like God can, only he can. And so I think such a great example of this kind of messy middle space is in Luke 1, when Jesus is speaking, and it says that the fringe outcasts of that society came to him, right? He didn't go chase them down. He wasn't Bible thumping, standing on a soapbox, you know, condemning them. He was, must have been engaging with the volatile topics of his day in a way, in a manner that was so honoring and loving and respectful that it drew in the fringe outcasts of that society that would have normally hid in the shadows because they were so mistreated. So I would say that there's no one way to treat people within this conversation, but I think that can be a kind of shining example of the heart in which we're striving for, that we don't, you know, Jesus had tremendous compassion for people. It never changed his level of righteousness. He never changed his theological belief here. So that's not what we're aiming for, but we absolutely can garner some compassion for people who even live very differently than we do, who we might even disagree with on a lot of things. And usually that compassion changes how we go about engaging with them and this belief in our life. So we're not looking to change our belief, but we are looking to change our understanding of their experience and the way that we treat them in our disagreement.
Yeah, that's good. And as you're talking, I am somebody who appreciates a lot of practicals, if you will. And I think with this topic, again, I think I said this at the beginning, which is it's hard to provide practicals on specific situations. But what I think we can break this down into is two topics, right? The conversations we're going to be engaging with are either with people who are trans or in the trans community, or we're going to be talking to those who have family members who are in the trans community, or Christians who have close friends or family that are in the trans community. And when I look at it that way, Ellen, maybe you and I can not necessarily role play, but we can give some practical understanding of what this conversation might look like and how we can respond with kindness, dignity, and respect. And so I'm going to ask you a question or give you a scenario, and we can walk through what that might look like. So if I am a trans person in the trans community and I work alongside you and we've engaged in conversation, faith hasn't come up, but as we're building our friendship, I get the courage to say to you, hey, you know, Ellen, it seems like you and I have built a pretty good friendship. I'm curious your thoughts. You've mentioned that you are a woman of faith and you go to church. What is your perspective on the way that I live my life or the decisions that I've made around my gender?
Yeah, I think first, like you said, sometimes it's hard to apply these kinds of practicals to every scenario. I would say if it's this extended lunch you guys have together and we have kind of the rapport for me to really be honest in that moment, then I would maybe engage with that right away. If not, right, if this is like you're walking through the hallway to your cubicle and you just don't have enough time to really engage in a thoughtful, respectful discussion in this, then I might say, oh, wow, I really want to talk about that with you. Thanks so much for feeling safe enough in our friendship to ask me that. Could we maybe grab some coffee after work today or, you know, hang out this weekend? And maybe we can really kind of unpack that together. And I really want to understand your perspective. If you want to understand my perspective, right? So I just would never want to have that kind of conversation in this rushed space where you're worried about your coworkers or your boss walking by and, you know, worried why you're not working or your coworker, not appreciating or not being able to understand in that moment, kind of where you're coming from, getting upset. And because you don't have enough time to kind of really dive into this the way that you would want to, because it does take a little bit more time, I think, when you're in the messy middle. It's not as easy as saying, well, I think it's wrong. You should repent or perish, right? Or I think it's totally fine. I wouldn't want to go to a drag show with you, right? Like it would be much easier and much more concise to do that. But to represent that messy middle space takes a little bit more time and effort and intention and understanding. So once you're in that space, I think probably what I would do is just first seek to understand, right? Before you offer any of your theological beliefs, I would say, well, first, I really want to understand you and your experience with gender. I'm so glad you feel safe enough in our relationship to talk to me about this. Help me understand. Tell me where this all began and how you got to the place that you are now with, you know, these decisions in your gender and your gender identity. And then once you understand a little bit, then I would maybe lay out that messy middle space. Something like, look, first and foremost, I honor and respect the free will that God has given you and me and every other human to live our lives exactly how we want to. And so I personally, Ellen, tells people all the time, I am not trying to get you to change your mind or believe what I believe. I want to protect your free will that God has given you, right? Like, you have the autonomy to live your life however you'd like to. I don't want to take that away from you. I want to protect it. With my free will, I have decided to live according to God's law and, you know, the way that he lays out in the Bible. And so for me and the other people that have chosen to live their lives this way, we have decided to put ourselves under God's law, which says that we need to honor the natal gender that God created us in. So for me, that means that even if there is an incongruence in my gender, I'm, you know, still going to remain in my natal sex. Now, I am, like we talked about in previous podcasts, I am going to confront gender stereotypes that exist in our world that don't necessarily exist from God's perspective. But, you know, bottom line, I will honor the gender that God put me in. And then again, kind of follow it up with some validation and acknowledgement of their own experience, right? Again, this is what I believe, not what I think everybody else needs to believe, right? I don't believe you have to agree with me or you hate me is the way of things. I don't believe that that's true. And so we can absolutely disagree on this, but I still want to know you. I still want to be involved in your life. I still want to be connected to you. And I want to be refined by knowing you and understanding you and learning from you, right? So you want, kind of want to end it with that encouragement.
Yeah, thanks for outlining that for us. From what I heard you say is really four things. We're going to listen, active listening. We'll ask questions. We'll honor and respect their response and the way that they've chosen to live, their free will, and then validate. Mm-hmm. And so being able to engage in conversations with that framework for somebody who is living as a trans person, I think would go a long way when we engage in these conversations. And I do think we can take that same framework and we can apply that to the conversations where I think as a Christian, I find myself more in spaces of coming up against those who have family members or friends who are in the trans community, mostly because I think there are just some hard lines drawn in the sand where if I was somebody from the trans community, I wouldn't necessarily feel safe with Christians right now, just based off of things that I've heard or things that I've experienced. We're going to get to some negative experiences in just a moment. But I think this conversation could be similar, engaging in the conversations with those who have the family members or friends, where we can still actively listen to their experience, listen to why they may be engaging in this conversation with you, ask questions, be curious. Well, you know, why did that happen? And how did you feel about that? And really try to understand where they're coming from and then honor and respect where that person stands. They might be in the middle of a really hard situation of a brother or a sister or a sibling or a cousin or somebody who has decided to be a part of the trans community and has a lot of hurt. And so now they're courageous enough to bridge this gap between, you know, that family member and the Christian community and where they stand. And then lastly, yeah, to be able to validate, you know, their experiences. So I really appreciate that framework, Ellen. I think that was really helpful in how we can practically engage in these conversations. And I would encourage our listeners, do the work of how you would prepare or how you would engage in these conversations now, because I think one of the biggest disservices we can do as Christians is to be underprepared and then emotionally respond when that comes up, because a lot of damage can be done if we let our emotions run wild or the first thing that comes up in our mind. And I love that you said timing is everything, right? Like when the conversation happens, if it's not the right space or time, it's okay to take a step back and decide to engage in it at a later date. Even if you are in a space at work that you could have a conversation, to be able to say, hey, I would love to have you over to my house, or I would love to meet you for coffee or dinner and engage in it thereafter. So thank you, Ellen, for doing that.
I want to say too, Morgan, I love that you said, you know, we want to do that work now. Like we were saying earlier, sometimes Christians, I think we just think we need to know what we believe, right? But we also need to take it a step further and know, how will we express this belief? How will we interact with this topic in our world? And so you're right. And I just want to acknowledge that when we don't do that preparation and we respond from this emotional place, that doesn't always look like this volatile, angry outburst or, you know, anxious outburst or however that emotion manifests. Sometimes it also looks like withdrawal, right? When we're so afraid or we're so angry or whatever, we don't know how to respond, that we just kind of shut down and don't say anything. That's not what we want to do either. We certainly don't want to go to the other extreme and, you know, lash out at people that we don't understand or believe something different than we do. We also don't want to just totally shut down and, you know, have this hands-off approach. And so I just want to acknowledge that emotional response can look like either.
So let's actually, that segues into the topic of negative experiences with Christians and the interactions possibly with people in the trans community. And this is always a hard one for me to navigate because it's not something that I am like proud of to say like, oh yes, like there's probably some negative experiences that have come for those in the trans community and the Christian community. But I do think it's important to talk about, you know, there. Again, being able to acknowledge that maybe as Christians, we've fallen short in how we've responded. That's why we're listening to this. That's why we're doing the work now so that we can hopefully engage in positive experiences. But I do, you know, want to ask you, Ellen, like, what is your perspective on possible negative experiences with those who are a part of the LGBTQ community?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, probably a lot of what I've heard is just this underlying belief, you know, distorted belief, I would say, in our culture that if you don't agree with me, you hate me, you're against me. And so I've heard that kind of over and over from people in the LGBTQ community, whether it's related to their sexuality or their gender, that when they find out what I believe, they automatically assume I don't love them, that I'm against them, that I hate them and I'm condemning them. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest hurdles that we have to overcome as Christians. And I know, I mean, we know, you and me, Morgan, right? We know that feeling of holding the responsibility, right? Like other people have been mistreated by other Christians that are not us. But when they look at us and hear that we're Christians, they associate that those experiences with us. And that is a really tough place to stand to say, well, I didn't do that to you. I would never do that to you. But because you're a Christian, you are associated in that. So you're already kind of starting behind the eight ball with a lot of people. And that is really tough. I think Jesus experienced that too. So if anything, we can have some comfort there that, you know, he knows what that's like and he can have some empathy for us as we do it. But I think, again, being willing to engage with people and understand, wow, you've been mistreated by someone who called themselves a Christian. I can't imagine. Tell me about that. Let me understand. Let me hold that pain with you in this moment. And then let me tell you why I'm different, why I would never do that, right? But I know I've even had, right, when I was a part of the LGBTQ community, I've had very negative experiences with Christians. And I just remember feeling so devastated that, you know, I grew up in a Christian culture and I really respected God and his word and his people. But then to go into this community and feel like I found this sense of belonging that I was so desperately longing for. And then to have people calling themselves Christians, you know, condemning us and using all these terrible words and phrases to describe us was so devastating to see that they were the ambassadors of this God that I had loved my whole life and was really even still curious about. But at that moment, right, I went to this gay pride parade and there was this moment people were saying these terrible things or holding Bibles and, you know, condemning you at the same time. And I just thought in that moment, I could never, how can I separate these people from God, right? I just could not separate it in that moment. And so kind of the message to me in that moment was, we don't care who you are or where you belong. We don't know where you belong, but it's certainly not with God. And that's what was so devastating is that, you know, they didn't seem to care about me. They cared about what I did, but not because they cared about me. And it was sort of this, you don't belong here because of how you are and how you're acting. I think what our heart, what the true heart of God is, is, you know, we see you. We want to understand you more. We know what it's like to live in a fallen world and look for fulfillment in every place that you can think will deliver it. But we also know who you really are and who you really belong to. And if you're willing, we can show you. And if you're not willing, we're going to respect you and your God-given free will and treat you with the kindness, dignity, and respect that you deserve as a human, as part of God's beloved creation. So, right, there's a difference in how we will engage with this. And I think the good news is that no matter how many practicals we could cover or scenarios we could go over, God says that out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks. So if we can get our hearts to this place of honoring, loving, respecting someone that we disagree with, no matter what the theological issue is, then I think we can be confident in the way that we engage with them. Because even if we say something that offends them, say something wrong, we can still approach them with that compassionate humility that says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I never intended that. Let me understand more. Let me change the way that I say that in the future to, you know, not disrespect anyone, but that was never my intent, never my heart.
Yeah, that's great. And that's such a great reminder of the fact that we can be the ones who change the course of action. You know, somebody who could have had a lot of negative experiences or just one negative experience with somebody in the Christian community, we can be somebody who really changes their perspective. And I think sometimes I can get overwhelmed being like, oh man, I just wish I could change the whole perspective. But the truth is, like, just engaging in one conversation in a kind and loving way can show God to one person. And that is a beautiful thing. And that is godly. And that means a lot. We don't have to take on the whole world. So thank you, Ellen, for your thoughts. And, you know, to our listeners, like we said at the beginning, we know that this is a hard topic. We know that there's a lot of things that are unclear, but we hope that today you can walk away with a good framework in understanding how to engage in these conversations whenever that might come up for you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Home from Home. We'd love to hear your questions. Please submit through the link in the description. Home from Home is sponsored by Strength and Weakness Ministries, a Christian organization that helps to bridge the gap between the Christian community and the LGBTQ community through awareness, education, and support. For more info and resources, go to strengthandweakness.org.